Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Joel Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody, and I'm going to interrupt our Flashback Friday. John and I will be with you for our flashback here in just a few minutes, but Larry Sonnenberg is joining me here in this first segment. If you've listened to the program this week, you know that we, like many ministries, have hit a really tough August. And Larry, we're just asking people to help us, and they have responded this week, but we've got a ways to go, right?
Yes, we do. And I want to thank everybody who has responded. It's we don't take any of that for granted, so thank you so much.
Yeah.
But a couple days ago, we had a $10,000 matching challenge given to our audience, and then a couple other people added on, and it ended up being a $25,000 matching challenge. And to date, as we're recording this, we have about $9,000 to go. We've got about $16,000 that's come in.
All right. So we're here just in this first part of the program to ask you that, you know, if you've never given before, we'd sure like you to think about maybe this would be the time to do it. We told this story this week. We always expect August to be tough, but this August, rather than us seeing folks jump over to News Talk around September or so for election coverage, well, it started early, and some of that's because of Donald Trump's ability to get the media to cover whatever he does. But it's really hurt us, hurt other ministries. I heard of one ministry over $3 million short. We're not a lot short. We're short, though, and we really need your help. And we have these matching gifts, and we'd love for you to help us finish it out. And so just in case you forget what you're giving to, we are the ministry that wants to see people in connection with other redemptive folks in redemptive relationships, sharing God's love and His truth, His true truth, not what we want to interpret it to mean, but what it really means. And then we want to see those redemptive relationships and the power of God's Word and the power of Holy Spirit produce real life transformation in folks' lives. We're not a ministry to make people feel better. We're not a ministry just to provide a little help here or there. We are a ministry transforming lives. If you want to be part of that, help us. Please.
And I want to challenge two sets of people here, Steve.
Okay.
I want to challenge people whose lives have been touched and changed, and this is the time to give back. There's a lot of folks I know. I've had that my experience in radio. I listened to a radio ministry for years, and I never gave a penny until I worked at New Life and saw what it took to keep that radio program alive. The other group of people are the people who have never given before. There are a lot of people who listen to this, and they always think it's somebody else who'll step forward. Well, today's your day to be somebody else, and I'd really want to challenge you to step up.
It really is your day, and I hope and pray that you'll respond, and so that we can have many, many more days of helping people to transform their lives. We love you. We appreciate you. We wish we didn't have to ask. But this is a really tough time. If you can help us, would you call us? 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or you could go to newlife.com and help us secure this ministry. Keep us on the air if you possibly can here in really the roughest August we've had, I guess, in 7 years, maybe 8. God bless you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Please call if you can. Bye-bye. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, editor of the Life Recovery Bible with Dr. Dave Stoop. Did you know we're about to sell the 2.5 millionth copy of the Life Recovery Bible? And so we're going to have our first annual Life Recovery Conference right there in Southern California at Mariners Church on October the 1st from 9 to 5. It's going to be a day packed with 12-step wisdom, Christian 12-step recovery principles. It's going to be a great day. Come join us October the 1st, 9 to 5, Mariners Church. Call us right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and be part of the first annual Life Recovery Conference.
For more information or to register for the Life Recovery Conference at Mariners Church on October 1st, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to liferecoverygroups.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433, or liferecoverygroups.com. Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend. Let's go to Ruth. She's calling from Pomona, California, listens to KSG. And hi, Ruth. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, Steve.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear your program, you and John. I love the program, and I've been listening for actually about 3 years.
Mm.
And I enjoyed all of it, and I learned from other people. For many years now, I just cannot stop it. I don't know what my problem is, but I'm a pack rat, and I was told by Jill, or I heard Jill say over the broadcast one time, you can't have a relationship with a pack rat. You can't have an intimate relationship. I can't even have an intimate relationship with myself.
Mm.
And I'm in pain the time. Now, I am looking at, right now as we speak, I know that I have 20-gallon containers. You know, 20-gallon, hello. 20-gallon, I have about 15 of those filled with papers. I mean, it's just like, okay, where do I find the valuable stuff in between there? And I did. I found some valuable stuff. I don't know what to do. I've had 3 interventions already.
Who's done them on you?
In 1991, I had a girlfriend help me, and she's now helping me, but she doesn't really know what to do with paper. She doesn't
Who did
really...
the other two?
The other one was in 97. I had a professional organizer, and it just cost me too much money.
Wait a minute. You said you had 3 interventions, which is a sustained kind of an extreme thing you have to do sometimes. Who were the authors of these 3? You had a girlfriend did the first one. Who did the other two?
Yeah, and then my girlfriend. Oh. I mean, then the professional organizer in 97.
Well, professional organizers don't do interventions. They are hired by somebody.
Okay.
Who hired them?
I hired her.
You hired it, but an intervention is a surprise.
Okay. Yeah.
How can you hire somebody and say,
okay,
well, one day show up?
Okay, never mind then. I had 3 times I've had help, and
You've had help 3 times.
Nothing is helping.
Okay, Ruth, let me ask you a question. Was it kind of a good start, then didn't follow up, or was it just never? Did it never get even started?
The start with the professional organizer was pretty good, but I could not afford that.
Okay.
The girlfriend she's real good at cleaning things, but she doesn't understand why I keep all these papers. She doesn't. What she wants to do is throw the baby out with the bathwater. She wants to throw everything out.
Well, tell all of our listeners why you do it. I mean, what is there?
I wish I knew.
Okay,
but
when you save a paper, there's some little thing in your mind. Is it, I may need this?
I guess I want to be an expert on every single subject.
Huh.
That's probably one aspect.
Okay.
Ruth, have you ever done any internal work on this?
No.
Why not? I mean, it seems like it's a huge problem for your life. Why wouldn't you go get help?
I don't know, because when I look back, when I was 8 years old and 10 years old, my mother would say, now clean up your bedroom, and there'd be 5 stacks of papers in there.
Ruth,
don't know.
No. Did you understand my question?
No.
Okay. I ask you, this is really causing your life extreme difficulty. Why would a person not want to get help?
I think they would.
Why haven't you gone to see a counselor? Obviously, there's obsessional parts to this, so why aren't you going to get help for that?
I don't know.
It is it? Does, I mean, are you afraid of it? Do you not want to do it? I mean, I'm trying to start answering your question from the most, you know, kind of reasonable level, which is, oh my goodness, poor Ruth has got a problem that's destroying her life. And she's obviously got some sexual components and maybe some other things. There are professionals that deal with this. Why would you not do that? Any idea?
I would if I knew I could afford it. I know I would.
Is it a money thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, if it's a money thing, I'm going to give you two or three levels of work on this. One of those is find out from the professionals who do that if there are non-professionals to do that, because there's a lot of expertise about that. If you do web searches on pack rat things, if you talk to churches, there are people that help people who struggle like you do.
Mm-hmm.
So get to work. You're going to need not only, you know, friends, but you're going to need a plan. And the plan's got to include two things. It's got to include what it is about this. Many times, like Steve mentioned, there's feelings a person has underneath. Let me give you a few of them. And I don't want to go over them, all of them, with you today, but just to give you a sense of it.
Okay.
Sometimes it is because a person thinks, I'll get to it one day. Some people think, I'm afraid of loss, and if I lose something, you know, it'll be gone forever, and I can't bear that. I can't mm-hmm. metabolize that. For some people, it's like you said, I want to have all information because I need it, and it's got to be in my fingertips. Some people say it may be something because I want to. I can't. You know, they're like my friends. The paper's like my best friends. The string is like my best friends. The crafts are like my best friends. I feel at home with those things. So whatever that is, you need to talk to somebody who can understand your insides about that. And the second thing is, these professionals really work if the program is resourced. So you get not only the personal growth work done, but you get somebody who over a sustained period of time, like your friend, and just say, I need three or four of you guys, and here's a plan that somebody's developed, and I need to know that you'll work with me for a year. And here's the key for it, Ruth, and I want you, if you really want to work on this, this is the hard part, but you have to do this, or it doesn't work otherwise. You must be willing to throw away things or allow them to throw away things that you would not. You must be willing to go over to the baby bathwater. It can never, ever, ever work if you must insist on, well, there's things that I need to keep and I need to have those choices. Now, certainly, you don't want to throw out things like your photographs and your prized
right.
possessions, your sentimental. But there's going to be a line there where they're going to say, we disagree, and you must bend your knee to them or there really is no hope.
Is that right?
That's right. Yep.
And, you know, when you say throw out the baby with the bathwater, you know, you don't want them to do that. There's there's some babies in there,
mm-hmm.
but they're not your babies. They're somebody else's, and they've got to be thrown out. Yeah, there's going to be some gems of information that you want.
There's
going
to be
like
some collateral damage.
But you're going to have to give
okay,
up.
Okay, well, what I'm concerned about right now, you guys, is tax time is coming up. I am not organized. I don't know where those papers are, and I did a whole lot of deductions. That's what I'm concerned about.
How can we help there?
That's what I'm concerned about. I'm going through all these papers, and I'm trying to find my tax papers.
Right. I'm asking, how can we help with that?
I don't know.
We could come over and, and throw a bunch of stuff away
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
so that you finally got down to that.
Yeah.
Or what you can do, I mean, you know, when you're at a position like this, Ruth,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have the resources or time, you get other people to do that. And you say, mm-hmm. can you go through and take a week, and I'll be out of my house because I don't want to look at this because I might get, you know, upset.
Really?
Oh, my goodness,
and I leave my house?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
I'd be scared to death they'd throw something I don't want thrown out.
I understand. Well, can you stay there? All right. Let's
stay
there. Stay there with a friend beside you who says, Ruth,
mm-hmm.
you're getting upset. Sit back down. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll comfort you while these people go through everything, and because they've got to pull a tooth, Ruth.
Yeah, they do.
And you have to be willing to pull the truth, or you will. This stuff will just, you know, by the time you're 70, you'll be this miserable, crazy old woman. You want to be this wonderful person with freedom and love and friends.
I do.
So you've got to give up something and have somebody help you do that.
Okay, now, Ruth,
mm-hmm.
there are 12-step groups all over America,
mm-hmm.
and they have slogans that really are helpful,
mm-hmm.
and people have used them to try
mm-hmm.
to reset inside their life. And one of the things that you hear in 12-step groups is, let go and let God. That's a form of surrendering. And if anybody we've talked to on the air needs to let go,
mm-hmm.
it's you. And I want to encourage you
mm-hmm.
to look up Celebrate Recovery. Well, I tell you what, you hold on. I'm going to hook you up with the Celebrate Recovery people so that you can find
a support group
mm-hmm.
or a 12-step group, if you don't have money for counseling,
mm-hmm.
you can go and you can talk about this to other people, and they will help you. They will help you reset that thermostat inside,
right.
and hopefully you'll be able to live your life in a way you can save some money and then get the counseling to do even more work going deeper in this.
Yeah, you know,
I'd
Ruth.
I'd like to know what created all that problem.
Well, Ruth,
in the first
you know
place.
What? I really like what Steve said, because I really think at a deep level you need community. You need
mm-hmm.
people to know you from the inside, because it sounds like there's a lot of isolation, and that you do have relationships, but they sound kind of dependent, that you're the dependent one on them. And I want you to feel like an adult and feel like you have power and choices
oh.
and feel like you can make decisions on your own, and you don't have to like be, you know, kind of like the helpy all the time. And that's going to require...
That I have to be all the time?
The helpy, the person everybody else is helping.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Because it puts you in a one-down position. You don't want that.
Uh-huh.
So go get involved in the good group. We're going to give you some website information for Celebrate Recovery. We're also going to send you a copy of Changes That Heal, Henry's book.
John... Have you seen, well, first, I got two questions. Have you seen people improve as pack rats? Have you seen people freed from being a pack rat?
I've seen both.
Okay.
And the main difference is the level of ownership. There are those people who go, this is the worst thing in my life, and I'm willing to suffer losing things I love and let other people do it, and I will submit and defer to them, and they do fine. Mm-hmm. And then other people, their level of ownership is kind of low, and it's sort of like, I'll get to it later, but whatever you do, don't mess up my babies. And it's sort of like God leaves them alone to their own devices until they realize that they are destroying other people mm-hmm. and themselves. Ownership's everything there.
Mm. All right. Let go and let God. Many of us are pack rats of unhealthy thoughts. We pack them
Ooh.
Away. We keep them inside. We look at them. We don't want to let them go. Think there's something we needed to learn from that, and carry all that stuff around inside our head.
Well, there's only so much room inside your head, though.
Yeah.
So with a finite amount of room in your head, if it's filled up with those kind of things you're talking about, then there's no room for the good things of life, love and good activities and a mission in life and all those. So, yeah, get the dustpan out and clean it out.
If you're a pack rat, you need to join a rat pack. You need people around you, community, to get some healing.
Yeah. Climb in all of those holes, go eat the cheese, you know, go have fun.
That's right. All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we want to do it. And we'll tell you how to get it. Let's go to Susan, calling from Roseville, California. Hi, Susan. Welcome to New Life.
Thank you. Thank you for speaking with me. I've been listening for a couple of years now, and I really appreciate the loving way that you help people. My dilemma is 2 years ago, my husband left my son and I for another woman. My son was 3 at the time, and I counseled with my pastor, and he also counseled with my husband at the time. And it kind of came out that my husband was not going to end the relationship, and my pastor and I decided that I should go ahead and divorce him. In the course of the divorce, I was able to get a court order keeping this other woman away from my son for like 2 years. But my ex-husband has moved this woman into his house and makes her leave when my son comes over once a week. My son is 5 now and asking a lot of questions. And I'm trying to
find... What kind of questions is he asking?
How come Daddy promised he's getting our family back together and he's not doing it?
Mm.
How come Daddy's with this person that wants our family broken up? How come I can't go to Daddy's house whenever I want? And I'm trying to find an appropriate way to talk to him about this that lets him know that I don't condone the situation, but then not trash his dad and this other woman.
Mm-hmm. Why would you not be able to do that? I mean, I think that's a reasonable thing to do. What's not doable about that for you?
Well,
do you find yourself trashing inadvertently or something?
No. The way I've explained it to him is that, you know, your dad is with a person that wants our family broken up. You know, I'm not for that. It hurts me. And I'm sorry that you feel this way, but there's nothing I can do about it.
What's wrong with that?
He just comes back at me with more questions, and then I feel like I'm down-talking his dad, and everybody's always advising me, don't speak badly of the dad, never speak badly of the dad.
No. Don't speak badly with malintent, because the Bible says as much as possible, you know, to keep peace. But at 5, if he's asking, he sounds a little like he's right on target, maybe a little bit even ahead, that he's asking the right questions of a kid that's really wants to get an intact family going. And so you don't speak badly, but you speak reality.
And his dad has promised us numerous times in the last 2 years that he would reconcile the family, that he would fix the family. He's told my son that.
I understand that. But I'm asking, I don't see a problem in you speaking reality as long as you don't have a malicious intent. He loves his dad. He needs his dad. And so you want to make sure he still values his dad. But if his dad's telling things that aren't true, then you say to him, sweetheart, I know Dad says it's going to happen, but I don't think he's doing the things that it would take because he's not leaving that other lady. So I don't think it's going to happen, but he and I are going to both be your parents in two separate houses. So that's not mean, but that's helping him to see the realities so he can grieve.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So just let him grieve and let him know that it's probably not going to happen.
Well, what's your option?
I don't have any other option.
Right. I'm just saying, at 5, as much as possible, make sure he's got enough grace to tolerate these things because it's so sad. But he needs to be able to see the realities that are there.
This classic program from the archives of New Life Live will be right back after this short break. Today's show has been pre-recorded. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
We came here, it's our last resort. We're going to go through counseling, they're going to find her problems, and I'm fine.
The Marriage Solution Weekend is coming to Orange County, California, October 21st through the 23rd.
Obviously, I'm not fine.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and the different ways that we love, and what is it that destroys our love? And how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Artiber.
I'm going to be talking about the 7 things that you need to stop right now, the 7 things you need to start doing in your marriage, and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
The biggest thing I got out of this is that I got things to work on, too.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
First time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I'll think that's why I do it, because there's just so much help there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
Stephen Artiber here with Dr. John Townsend. Let's go back to our phones, talk to Joyce, calling from Chicago. Listens to WYLL. Hi, Joyce.
Hi.
Hello.
I love your show. I am calling regarding my 13-year-old son. His father, we're divorced for about a year now. His father was addicted to pornography. And, of course, my son has started looking at magazines, and I gave him access to the Internet, and he immediately went to the porn sites that he could get access to.
Joyce, you said, of course, because developmentally, that's what the age that happened, or because you think this becomes from the dad?
I think that's pretty normal for boys of that age.
Okay.
And I confronted him about it calmly, and I said, you know, I'm going to get the book that you guys have for boys and go through it with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he
Every Young Man's Battle.
Yeah. And he's fine with that. I haven't started it yet, but
Is he a pretty hip, savvy kid, or is he more reserved and less aware of society and culture?
He's somewhere in between.
Because you might want to start with preparing your son for every man's battle versus every young man's battle.
Okay.
And it's really easy because it just you just read it with him.
Okay.
And it does it for you. I would recommend that. I'll send that one to you.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So, when would it be appropriate for me to explain how bad pornography can be because it broke up our marriage and our family, and he's very sad about that?
Well, preparing your son will do it for you, but I think it's appropriate. I mean, any 13-year-old.
Yeah, 13, you can handle it. I mean, yeah.
You think he can handle it?
Yeah, what is he, like, fragile, or is he, I mean,
no,
is he, can
I
he handle
it? I just don't want him to be mad at his dad and then have his dad come yelling at me because, what did you tell your son? Because his father says he wasn't addicted to pornography.
Well, do you feel you have to have that discussion with him? That this is why our marriage broke up. Your father was a
pornographer. Is he asking that question? Or is that something you're just saying, is it time for it to sit down and have the talk with him? Is it coming from you or coming from him?
It's coming from me. I just
you've still
want
got a lot.
To
you
really
still,
understand
you still,
how
you know, Joyce, you've still got a lot of feelings about this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well,
it was not good.
I'm sure it wasn't. But I would say, it was like on the last call we had, he still needs a dad, even a dad like that, because
mm-hmm.
it's a hole in his heart that God put there for right. his dad. And so until you see a reason to tell him that, it just wouldn't be. I can't see the helpful function it would do, unless you're saying he needs the warning to see how bad it is, because if he understands that it broke up his family, he won't want to do it. I think that would be overshadowed by the disruption of a relationship with the dad, and you don't want that.
No.
Now,
so just go
if,
through the
if
book
he
with
if
him.
He sits down at 14, 15 and starts saying, you know, really, why'd you guys break up? Then you'll say, okay, your dad's got a side of this, and I've got a side of this, and I'm going to tell you my side, and he'll have, I'm sure, a different opinion. But I would wait till he's got the curiosity.
Okay.
And the book is really good for going over everything that you need to do. And I would add one thing to your mix, and I would add that get a junior high pastor or a guy that's mature and have him involved in there too, because there's going to be some, you know, he's in the age of separating from mother,
mm-hmm.
and dad's not kind of qualified in this area if what you're saying is true. So he needs to be able to be open to another source about these matters, and there are lots of good men around like that. I'd look for one.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm actually Canadian, and I can't move back, so I have no relatives
okay.
to help out with that either, which is kind of frustrating.
All right,
whoa, but Joyce?
What?
The Bible says that God puts the lonely in homes. So there's a family called the family of God, and if you've been abandoned by, or your circumstances have abandoned you, don't wait for blood ties to fill you up. Go and get connected to those people in spiritual community
mm-hmm.
who want to know you in the process. Don't ignore that.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate your phone call, Joyce. And hold on. I'll send you Preparing Your Son for Every Man's Battle. It's for a little younger preteen, and Every Young Man's Battle is for older teens. And I hope that will be of help to you. You know, John, it really is a tough call when a spouse has been unfaithful or gotten into pornography about what to tell the kids and when. I mean, it isn't like if they kill somebody and are found guilty that you're telling the child, okay, here's what happened. I mean, there was a murder, there's evidence. And a lot of times I think you can do a lot of damage by getting out there and telling that child exactly what happened. They may not be ready to hear that kind of information.
Yeah, you know, really what they're wanting to get structure, they're wanting to get love, they're wanting to get unconditionality, they're wanting to get discipline, they're needing those kind of things, and they want mom and dad's face in all that.
Right.
They're not as curious at the younger ages about that. Their world's in two parts, and their heart's upside down. They just want to be as good as possible. So a lot of times it just comes from the parents hurt and angry, and take that somewhere else.
Yeah. All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we've got Devotions on the Run as our resource by Dr. Jim Burns, one of the folks that you hear right here on New Life Live. And also, those that support us, we send you my new book, Feeding Your Appetites. We'll be back.
We appreciate your faithful support of this program. To give a tax-deductible gift of support or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be right back with New Life Live after this. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
You know, one of the great things about TV.newlife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip. And that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and your phone calls. Let's go to Jana in Dallas, Texas, KWRD. Hey, Jana, how you doing?
Good. How are y'all?
We're fine.
Good. I just have a quick question.
So nice to hear a Midwest. Is that Midwest, Jana?
Texas.
Texas,
excellent. Texas, yep. I have a quick question. I needed some tips on how to not be so critical and negative towards my husband.
Wow.
Tell us about it.
I just seem to get very frustrated with him and
stall, because a lot of our male listeners are calling their wives asking, "Are you listening to the New Life show today? I might tune in."
Yeah. The things that he does I wouldn't do, or
like what?
Stuff that he doesn't do. I guess being a leader in our household. He stays at home because he's a full-time student, and we have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And so he goes to school at night, and he works on the weekends. But when he's home, I have expectations of him to take care of things.
Such as?
Like housework. Keeping the house up, changing the oil in the car, doing stuff like that.
While he's home and during the day with your child, while you're working, you uh-huh. expect him to kind of keep things up.
Right.
Okay.
And
does he buy into that, at least conceptually?
Yeah.
Okay. He says, yeah, that's important, and that's part of my job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then what happens?
Well, he doesn't do it.
Right. And then why didn't you do it, what does he say?
Well, he has excuses.
Okay. He has excuses. And then you mm-hmm. then you freak out.
And then I freak out, and then he'll say, and then, like, the next day he'll do it, but it will only halfway be done, or I just don't feel like he's very responsible anyways. And
so now we're really calling up, Jan, about two things. Mm-hmm. You have a frustrated, helpless reaction mm-hmm. and get mad and kind of come down, and he's also is kind of excusey and a little bit flaky about these things.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
It's called a marriage.
Yes.
So what's your question?
I want to try to be encouraging. About, I don't know, a few months ago, I heard my daughter just kind of repeating the things that I was saying to him, and she's only four, and I thought, oh,
like,
my
Daddy,
God.
You're a flake?
No, she'll just be like, Daddy, you better get up and do that, or or Mom is going to get on to you, or, you know, she'll say stuff like that,
oh, my
and I'm
goodness.
Like, oh, I must sound really bad, and I don't want to be that sort of example, and I don't want her to think it's okay for me to be disrespectful to him.
Let me give you the short answer here, Jana.
Mm-hmm.
And the short answer is that we should always start with words, mm-hmm. and appeals. Like it says in Matthew 18, when your brother sins against you, go to him, and if he repents, you've won your brother. And you've gone that route. But ultimately, if you've got a really excusey person, mm-hmm. that finds a different reason, then you have to move to another level where basically the shoulders of the problem are not on you anymore, but on him.
Okay.
So at some level, the fact that there's not oil in the car and the housework isn't done and those sorts of things, somehow it needs to have a negative effect on him. Right now, you know what his biggest negative effect is?
Me.
A naggy wife,
mm-hmm.
who's now creating a naggy daughter.
Yeah.
And you don't want that. And it doesn't help. And really what he does is he just kind of gets away from your wrath for a day and not, is nice. And then, you know, you go away and it's kind of like, okay, she's gone. So you want to sit down with him and let him know, you know, all the positives. And we're going to send you a copy of Boundaries Face to Face. We deal with these very role-playing, scripting-wise, so you see what to say.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, at some level, you want to say, sweetheart, it's important to me, and maybe I'm sounding like a naggy mom and I don't know what I'm doing there. I don't want to do that. But it's not happening. And so can I have a no-excuse rule with you? I'm never going to nag you again, but you're going to, like, lose the following things if you don't do this. And come up with a system that if he buys in that it should be done, then the excuses don't count anymore unless there's an earthquake.
Okay.
And you have to kind of set it up. So maybe he has to put $10 in the family kitty that you can spend on fun stuff every time. That you don't have to account to him for. Or maybe when you get home, then if nothing's done, then you take the kid and go somewhere and he's got to clean up before you guys come home. Or there's a million ways to do that.
Okay.
But it's got to be not because of your wrath, but because of the consequences he experiences.
You know, I was thinking about another another conversation maybe the two of them could have in addition to that is at some point, not in the moment, maybe over dinner or somewhere, to kind of bring up the subject. You know, it doesn't feel like we're on each other's team anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the appeal to unity. You're right, Steve.
I want us to be on each other's team. Because, man, I tell you, I don't know many things that destroy marriage more than when you don't feel like you've got a team member.
Yeah,
there,
that should be the first thing, I think, Jana, is, you know, I'm not as close to you as I want to be. It's always better to appeal to the relationship that Steve's talking about and how you miss that aspect of the closeness and all that. And some people just kind of snap to and go, oh, my goodness, I didn't know that was in jeopardy. I'll clean up if that matters to you and it hurts your feelings and that it doesn't happen. And then you're vulnerable and you're tender.
Mm-hmm.
And you do go that route. That's really, really important. And then if the excuses continue, then you have to say, you know, that's not working. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to something else. But the book tells you how to do it.
All right. I'm glad you called us. And
thank you.
Hold on. Let me send you Every Man's Marriage for Him. What would you like for her to have for herself?
Boundaries face to face. It just tells how to do it. You know, I was thinking about her 2.5 years. I'm so glad that Jana is thinking about it because, when she starts dating, that 16-year-old boy who says, you know, why are you telling me that you're going to come after me, that my mommy and daddy are going to come after me? You know, he's going to be kind of traumatized.
That's right.
If Jana doesn't change, so I'm glad she's aware of that.
Very good. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we have some help available for you. Christian counselors all around this country. Also, you know, Face-to-Face Weekend coming up August the 20th and 21st in Cincinnati, September 24th in Southern California, October the 22nd in Dallas, Texas. Let's go to Sherry calling from Pacifica, California. Listen to KFAX. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
How you doing?
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I didn't think I'd get in. I have an 11-year-old daughter who is suffering with bullying at school.
Which end of it?
She's on the getting. She's receiving.
She's receiving.
Bullying.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I suffered with that in school, too, and never really did figure out how to handle it. And I don't know how to help her deal with it.
Okay.
What does she say to you when she comes in? Is she in tears? Is she saying it happened again? I mean, how does she deal with it?
Well, over time, she's become more, I don't want to say accepting of it, because she definitely would like it to stop, but, you know, she'll tell me that, you know, so-and-so was calling me, you know, a name, or I get called this at school, or somebody was, you know, kicking me today. And
what are the specifics about that? Like, is there something about her that is a lightning rod for bad treatment?
A physical
characteristic or an emotional characteristic?
She's always had her heart on her sleeve.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure she suffers a little bit from low self-esteem.
All right, so to a kid that might be a bully type, she'd be an easy target.
Yeah.
All right, now, is this all the kids, or there are certain kids whose names come up a lot, or is it like, I'm just everybody's victim here?
Well, she feels, I'm sure, like she's everybody's victim.
No, I'm asking the reality.
Okay. She mentions a few selected. Not that just about every. She does feel and has communicated that she doesn't think there's anybody at her school that likes her except one or two children.
Okay. All right. Have you done anything about this yet?
Well, I'm not quite sure what to do. I don't know what steps to take.
All right. The first step to take, I mean, just kind of on a like, where do we go from here level, Sherry, uh-huh. would be you start bringing kids over to your house for play dates.
Uh-huh.
Where the kids aren't surrounded by the predator-type wacko kids.
Uh-huh.
Where she's just got buddies, and then she starts to strengthen the relationships. They start to have good times. They start to see her as a positive person. And then she's got these two or three playdate friends that when she gets to school, they've got an alliance there that will strengthen her, and that'll decrease it. So that's one thing.
Okay.
I mean, just kind of make a friend in a place where it's safe and it's away from, you know, the bad treatment.
Okay, would these be kids, obviously, that she already knows?
Yeah,
kids
there.
The friendship,
you know,
started with?
Yeah, there's the kids that are in the middle that she says don't really pick on me a lot.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, start inviting those over a lot. Just make a little, your home a safe place.
Uh-huh.
And the second thing is to get her to work with, are you married?
Yes.
You and husband start working on her being confrontive and feeling less helpless. You know, sweetheart, I want you to disagree with me here. I want us to talk about what your boundaries are. I want you to say no to me sometimes, because a lot of times kids like that feel helpless. And when then they can start to stand up to mom and dad in appropriate ways, they can stand up to bad kids. Then if it escalates, then you go to the school. But I wait to the last minute to go to school.
Yeah.
There's a lot you can do before then. We'll send you a copy of Raising Great Kids.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Sherry, thank you for your phone call. You hold on. And the old self-esteem. Problem. Very, very tough. All right. We'll take a break. Come right back for more New Life Live.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That number again is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I would just kind of be paralyzed. Sometimes I would just stay home. I would kind of sit in a chair and just kind of write or maybe talk to my wife a little bit, but I just wasn't living a fulfilled life. I'm a recovering addict, and so I'm always looking for a quick fix. What Christian counseling has done for me is made me realize it's the journey that's the important thing.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
You don't want to shortchange yourself. Counselors are so good at helping you to see patterns in your life that you've never seen before.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend. Let's go to Joanne in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. WRRD is the station. Hi, Joanne. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi there.
Welcome to you, too. I listen to your station all the time. I love it.
Thank you.
I have a question that I've the last 6 months have been going to church, and when it's closed and I take my prayer books and I pray and pray, and before I start even my prayers to ask for things, I always praise the Lord and thank Him, and then always ask to forgive Him my sins.
Mm-hmm.
But then I hear like on your station, on a lot of religious stations, that people, when they are Christian reborn, the feeling they get to have Christ in their life is so wonderful, and it's just unbelievable. And I wanted just to share this one sentence with you that I'm reading in a book, because I want to know when I'm going to be getting this feeling, because I know I believe in the Lord. I know He suffered and died, but I don't know, maybe I'm not, it's not really, really in my heart to Him, but I know it is for me, because it says here that Jesus took our sin, and dear one, and died in our place. Mm-hmm. Have you accepted the wondrous truth and named Jesus your Savior? And it says, if you confessed your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart, because it's in Romans 10:9.
Yeah. God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
And it says, and Jesus will take root in your heart and life. Well, I've been doing that, and He gave me one miracle 2 months ago. I know it was, but there's just been turmoil, and I want to know, am I not giving enough faith? I mean, how do I know? I don't know what to do, because I'm so depressed and I'm so ill. I have a lot of ailments, and now my father's ill. And
Joanne, do you feel like if you really had Christ in your heart that you wouldn't have these problems?
Well, that's what I tell myself all
the
time.
Why do you tell yourself that?
Well, like, for instance, when I go to work, I'm so paranoid of my work if I don't do a good job. So I'll always, on my way to work, say, oh, dear Lord, please.
All right, let me, that's a common kind of a concept, and let me tell you that the reality.
Every time I leave work, it happens.
I understand. Hold. When you meet the Lord and you accept Jesus as the Messiah, as your Savior, you've entered a new land, a land where God is personally involved with you, is going to help you, going to guide you, mm-hmm. going to be on your side.
Right.
When you're in that new land, though, you haven't learned the ways of that new land. You haven't learned all the truths you need to learn, and how you haven't grown. There's a lot of times people who become a Christian have emotional healing they've got to do also. That doesn't happen instantly. They don't know the ways of relationships and responsibility, and they still have work problems. But you're in a new land. And so now that you're in that land because of your faith, now you begin to take those problems to God and say, this is not about whether I'm your kid or not anymore. This is about, I need your answers and your help.
No, I tell them I'm your child. I know I'm your child, and
well, then
and
that's
that you watch
then
over
that
me.
Then no, it's more than that. It's more than just watch over. He gives specific guidance through people and through information and through the Holy Spirit and through your experiences and through the Bible, and He addresses all those issues. But it has nothing to do with whether or not you are His kid anymore.
And you know, Joanne, when you talk about your feelings, and when you talk about a miracle happened a couple of months ago.
Oh, yeah, I believe that for sure.
Well, I have a caution that sometimes we think that our faith is always going to produce great feelings
are miraculous signs.
Oh, no, not all.
Or, you know, things are going to really always be there that are going to be proving that God is in our lives. And
no,
I think there are times
God does the opposite, because he gives us some of these.
Then, Joanne, then I don't understand your question, because on one hand, I heard you beginning the question with, why do I still have problems if
okay, because
I, Joanne,
I,
Joanne?
I'm sorry, you were asking me.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Just, it helps to kind of get it clarified.
Okay.
You began with, if I truly have Christ, why do I have problems? And then when Steve said, you'll have this problem, you said, well, God does give us problems. So I'm not understanding your dilemma.
All right. No, I want to know, because I do believe in Christ and I do pray a lot, when am I going to get this feeling like I hear everyone else does?
Describe that feeling. Yeah, describe that feeling that people tell you.
Well, once you've received the Lord, you'll feel His presence, and you'll feel uplifted, and you get the sensation.
Okay.
And,
you know, sometimes what they're describing is a feeling that comes when a person says, I'm not in charge of my life. God is in charge of my life. I don't have to worry about the things of my past. Jesus is taking care of those. Even the consequences that come up from mistakes I've made, Christ is going to be there for me. So it's a feeling of relief when you totally surrender and turn your life over to the Lord. It's more than just believing that Jesus died on the cross. It is accepting it to the extent that you really can have an inner peace.
That's what I want.
Okay. But it sounds like to me you may still be in charge of too much stuff in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you may be trying to control, like even controlling our conversation here. You might be a little too controlling.
And I have the Holy Spirit to ask me to talk to you and give me help.
But you may be in more of a control mode that prevents you from really feeling that great benefit that comes when we totally surrender and let go and let God have His way.
So what do you do about that?
I'm going to tell you what to do. If you want to feel the feelings that God gives, you enter what the Bible calls in Ephesians 4, the life of God. You need to enter the life of God. And you do that by beginning to get around people who are like Him, who will love you, who will open up to you, who will tell you how they feel about you, give you feedback, support you, affirm you. And then when God enters you, as He did, and when people enter you, all of a sudden the uplifting comes. The problems don't go away, but you do feel supported and strengthened in ways that you did not before. But I think you said you go to church when it's closed and you do a lot of praying and worshiping,
well,
right?
I want
you to also get around people,
mm-hmm.
because I think that your isolation will keep you away from one of the primary resources God gives to uplift us, Joanne, and that is His hands and His feet. And we're going to give you some information about how to get involved in the area of your country you're in, because there's some really good churches down there.
All right. If you are on the line, I'm sorry we didn't get your call. Hold on. I want to send you something. I'll send you Feeding Your Appetites just for you hanging on so long. We appreciate your phone call here. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, if you need Christian counseling, if you've thought, man, maybe I could just benefit if I'd go in one time, please call us and let us help you find someone, see what happens. Very few people have died of strep throat or anything by going to a counselor. They
I think the research does back that up,
yeah.
Steve.
They do fine. Life doesn't fall apart. It actually gets better. If you need some help, if you want some information, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. John? How about some wisdom from God's Word?
I thought about Joanne and other people who called with a direction that they needed, Steve, and I thought about Proverbs 19, where it says, many are the plans in a man's heart. We all have, you know, desires and things we want in our relationships and our jobs and our careers and all that. And it says, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And God's purpose is like a big old freight train. You know, you either ride your own train or you jump on His and go the right way. So your desires are good, and it's important to have them, but just make sure, as you always talk about, surrendering, get on the freight train, and you go the right direction.
Hmm. Be a hobo on God's freight train is kind of our message for today.
The hobos become heroes.
All right. Hitch a ride on the gospel train to life. All right. We are so glad that you're with us. Call us. Let us give you some help. And please thank the radio station that you listen to. Thank them for carrying this broadcast. They make decisions every day. And we're so grateful to get to be on so many new stations, people adding us to their roster. And if you hear us, you call and you thank them. Have a great day today, and we'll see you here tomorrow on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but we also need you to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. That means we depend on your gifts to stay on the air, which is why your financial help is so important. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again next time for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.